طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This is our 37th session reading from Arabic Lessons in Fiqh, Level 3, Al-Mustawa Thalith, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. And since we have been reading from Kitab al-Zakat, we've covered a number of topics, particularly one of the main sources of wealth that a person is required to give zakat from it, our livestock, camels and cows and sheep and goats. And we discussed that in some detail, and we talked about what is the minimum nisab that would require a person to give zakat on those things, and also what is the qima til wajib, what is the amount that is required to give, depending on how much of these animals that they may have. Today we want to leave that topic and go to a new topic, and that is a second type of wealth which the scholars usually refer to as al-hubub wa-thimar, zakat al-hubub wa-thimar, the zakat that is due upon grains and fruits. And this topic, unlike the previous topic, actually contains some serious difference of opinion concerning some of the matters. Serious difference of opinion on a number of issues. And we're not going to cover all the differences of opinion. We're going to try to cover what's presented in our book, the Arabic Lessons in Fiqh for Level 3, Islamic University of Medina. And we may look at some other aspects of the issue, just to get further benefit. But like I said, there are some major points of difference, and we're not going to be able to discuss them all, but we'll discuss some of them. Also, the topic, even though in our book it's not a lengthy topic, but when we look at our other secondary sources that we normally refer to, we'll find that it's quite lengthy. Even I wanted to read from the Al-Jami al-Ahkam Fiqh al-Sunnah, but the Shaykh discussed this topic in such length that even if we just read what he said without reading anything else, it'll take us 2 or 3 weeks to finish it. So, I would recommend that you go back and look in his book and look at what he said, because he discussed a lot of issues, and some of them he went into great detail, and it's just, this is not the place for it, because our intent is just to kind of give the general outline and the overview of these matters, just to introduce the topic. So, in any case, I do want to say that he brought a lot of points, and perhaps we might refer to some of them if we have time, but we're not going to be able to read all of what was said. Okay, so we're going to start with our text, Arabic Lessons in Fiqh, Level 3, page 58. It says, Ba zakatul hububi wa thimari. The zakat that is obligatory to be taken from grains and fruits. From grains and fruits. 58. Now, so it says, the first thing that it deals with, by the way, the first thing that they dealt with is the evidence that, the evidence for the legislation of zakat on hubub and thimar. And then the second thing they dealt with is the actual nisab. What is the minimum amount that necessitates or that makes a person obligated to give the zakat on this type of wealth? And the third thing that they dealt with is the qimat al-zakat, or miqdar al-wajib, the amount that is obligatory to be given from whoever has reached the nisab. And then they dealt with, so those are the main things that they dealt with. So it's four topics that they presented, and some of the other books may have added some other things to it. We may read some of it, Allahu A'lam. First thing is the legislation, the dalil that is legislated to give zakat. They mention, and some of the scholars mention different ayahs from the Quran. Here they mention Surah Al-An'am, the 6th surah, 141st ayat. And in our book it says 144th ayat. It's 141st ayat. طيب فيها concerning the legislation of this type of zakat, قول الله تعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وهو الذي أنشأ جنات معروشات وغير معروشات يعني هو الذي أنشأ يعني it is Allah سبحانه وتعالى who brought about or who brought into existence these gardens which are معروشات وغير معروشات. What is the meaning of معروشات? Huh? To grow? معروشات means trellished. Trellished. And he caused to grow ansha and jannatin. Ansha, he caused it to grow. He brought them into existence. Yani ma'arushat means trellished. Trellished. Ghayra ma'arushat, non or untrellished. Alright? So I hope it's clear.
What is that English word?
Thank you for asking, because I thought maybe nobody would ask.
No, I thought nobody would ask.
That's why I said I hope it's clear. Yani trellished and untrellished. So that doesn't help me much, right? Ma'arushatin, ghayra ma'arushatin, trellished, untrellished. I don't know what that means. I don't know what this means. But somebody must know about what's the meaning of these words, right? Trellished means like the frame, the wood frame or metal frame or some kind of frame, bamboo frame, that the vines of the plant grow upon. They rise up upon it. That's the trellish. Okay? Thank you, mashallah. Somebody knew. That's what it is, okay? So it's made from different things, right? But it's like almost like a fence or something, right? That the plant actually wraps itself around it and rises up upon it and grows upon it. That's what they mean by trellished. Okay, so the gardens, some of them are trellished and some of them are not trellished. That's the meaning of it. Yeah, so even we have to learn English too. This is Arabic class, but we're learning English too. So, huwa alladhi ansha'a jannatin ma'rushatin, yani trellished, وغير معروشات untrellished. والنخلة والزرع مختلفا عقله والزيتون والرمان متشابها وغير متشابها. يعني in addition to the gardens that are trellished and untrellished, والنخل يعني date palm trees, والزرع يعني the crops that grow from the ground, مختلفا عقلها يعني meaning that their food, the food that comes from these plants, from these crops, yani they're different kinds, different types. They're not all the same. Was zaytun is yani is what? Olives. Yani zaytun means olive oil, right? A zaytun, olives. What rumman means?
Pomegranates.
Now we have another name for them. When I was growing up, we didn't know how to say pomegranates. We couldn't say that word. Thank you. The old times, no. That's a little bit easier than saying pomegranates. Chinese apple. That's what we used to call it when I was a kid. Because we couldn't say this word, so we had to come up with something else, right? Too difficult. Naam. Mutashabihan wa ghayra mutashabihin. Yani, some of them are similar and some of them are not similar. Yani similar in shape, similar in form, similar in color, similar in taste, and unsimilar. All different types of fruits and things that Allah caused to grow from the earth. Allah says, "Kulu min thamarihi idha athmara." Yani eat from it. Yani this is a command, and the meaning of it is permission. Yani you're allowed to eat from it. Eat from it when it is ripened, when it yani yields, when those plants yield their fruit. Eat from it. وَآتُوا حَقَّهُ يَوْمَ حَصَادِهِ. And this is really the shahid in this ayat. وَآتُوا حَقَّهُ يَوْمَ حَصَادِهِ. Meaning?
Give its due rights.
Give its due. Yani its due rights. Yani meaning the zakat on the day of harvest. Yani when the harvest comes. Give its due rights. Meaning give the zakat. وَلَا تُصْرِفُوا إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُصْرِفِينَ. And do not be excessive, extravagant, wasteful, excessive. Yani for indeed, Allah does not love those who are excessive, who are extravagant, who are wasteful. Okay, so this ayah, amongst other ayahs in the Quran, is used as a proof of the zakat on the things that grow from the earth. The shahid, yani the statement in this ayat that is the proof itself is wa'atu haqqahu. Yani come, bring, give its right, its due. Yani the zakat yawm hasadihi, on the day when the harvest comes. Yani at the time of harvest. Yani the zakat on this type of wealth is due upon the harvest. Yani when the harvest comes. Yani whoever possesses the nisab, when the harvest comes, is the person who pays the zakat. The person who possessed this wealth after the time of harvest, no matter what amount it is not required to pay zakat on. It's the one who owns it at the time of the harvest. So Allah said here what? Atu haqqahu yawma hasadihi. On the day when the harvest is due, the one who possesses it, who owns it at that time, is the one who pays the zakat. Yani if somebody else came into possession after that, by any means, they worked for that man and he gave them, or after he finished harvesting, whatever he wanted, he left, some people just came and took it, or somebody bought it from him, whatever. Yani the zakat is due on the one who owns it at the time of harvest, not the one who came into possession by any other means after the fact. That's the meaning of this statement here. Now,
if it's spoiled,
yeah, if it's spoiled, now. So, anyway, we're going to come to talk a little bit about this, inshallah. Yani, there are some any matters that we're going to discuss a little bit related to the actual any responsibility of the person who owns it, if it was destroyed or if something happened or whatever. Naam. Yani before the harvest, not after the harvest. Okay, so this ayat is a proof that there is a legislation in the Sharia for zakat on grains and on fruits. And likewise, yani they mentioned the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, muttafaqun alayh, reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, on the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, qawlu ar-rasuli sallallahu alayhi wasallam, laysa fi ma duna khamsati awsuqin min at-tamri sadaqatun. Yani laysa sadaqatun, there's no sadaqa, fi ma duna khamsi awsuq. Yani in concerning that which is less than 5 awsuq min at-tamr. And of course in some of the other narration may mention tamr, they mention sha'ir, yani and other different things that are zakat, and yani zakat is taken from. Naam.
This half line here, did you explain
it? Did I explain it?
No.
Naam. At the last line?
Yes.
وَلَا تُصْرِفُ إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُصْرِفِينَ. Yani do not be wasteful, extravagant. Okay. For indeed Allah does not love those who are wasteful, extravagant. So the Prophet, huh? Yeah, it's also, we're going to talk about it, inshallah. قال رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس في مدونة خمسة أوسق من التمر صدقة. And there's no صدقة in that crop which is less than 5 أوسق. Which is less than 5 أوسق. And we're going to talk in some detail concerning the أوسق. Exactly, this is a plural of وسق. Or whisk, yani read both ways. And what is it equivalent to? Yani 60 sa'a, and 5 of them would be 60 times 5, huh? What?
300.
We're going to talk about it, inshallah. Fima, yani duna, whatever is less than. So that's the minimum nisab. It has to be 5 awsuq. 5 awsuq. Yani a sa'a is what? Is a measure of volume. Although today, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen says, rahimahullah, that the scholars found that the measurement of volume differs from time to time and from place to place. And sometimes it will be a vast difference. So some of the later scholars, what they did, they used the sa'a that they had from the time of the Prophet ﷺ. They saw what could fit, what measures up to that, and then they weighed it, and then they used the weight instead, because weight is pretty much uniform wherever you go and every time. So the original measurement is the sa'a, but now mostly they're using weight measurement, yani wazn, instead of the sa'a. In any case, yani we're going to discuss that in some detail. Okay, that's the second point, the nisab, yani khamsa awsuq, yani which is 300 yani sa'a, which is yani what in weight we'll look at, inshallah. Well, the next point that they mention is what is required, what amount of the person's crop is required to give as sadaqah, yani the qimat al-zakat, the value of how much they have to give in zakat. An ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, an nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, he said, yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fima saqati as-sama'u wal-uyun aw kana athariyan, aw kana athariyan al-ushru wa fima suqiya bin-nadhi nisfu al-ushri, akhrajahu al-Bukhari وأبو داود والترمذي رحمهم الله. And Ibn Umar narrates from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم رضي الله عنهما that he said concerning فيما سقط السماع, سقط السماع والعيون, that which has been يعني watered, has been يعني watered يعني by rain, يعني السماع, rain that came from the sky, والعيون يعني springs, يعني springs that are flowing on the earth, يعني natural water sources. أو كان عثريا, يعني عثريا, they said here in the footnote number 20 on the bottom of the page, الذي يشرب بعروقه من غير سقي, الذي يشرب يعني كان عثريا, يعني the land was عثريا, means that its roots are in the earth taking water from the earth. يشرب يعني it's drinking the water from its roots, min ghairi suqiyin, without anybody watering it. Nobody brought water to water that land. Rather, the land, yani the plant are taking, yani its roots are in the earth. Yani where there's water available, yani the water is the land is wet. It's near some other water sources, so it's taking the water naturally without you doing anything. So this kind of crop that's watered from the sky by rain, or watered from the springs that are upon the earth, or from yani, or it is yani in an area where there's wet land near springs, so that it's drinking the water yani directly from its roots. Then the amount that has to be given as zakat is al-ushru. Yani the crops that come from like in this way, that are watered in this way without you making any effort, you don't do anything to water them, then you have to give 1/10. يعني 10% of the harvest. 10%. وَفِيمَا سُقِيَ بِالنَّضْحِ. And as far as those crops which have been يعني watered or irrigated by some effort that you have to make, نِسْفُ الْعُشْرِ. يعني النَّضْح, there are different meanings that have been given to it. From amongst his meaning, يعني النَّضْ literally means linguistically watering something. Watering, that you water it. Yani you irrigate it through some kind of way. Yani you bring water from a well or some other source to water the land. Some of the scholars said an-nudhi means as-saniya, as it came in another hadith, meaning ibl, camels, or ba'ir, the camels that are used to yani as work animals to get the water from its sources to water the land. In any case, yani the intended meaning is masuqiya bin-nudhi, meaning that the water, the land has been irrigated by human effort. Yani you had to do something. It didn't just rain, it wasn't just springs, the crops didn't just, their roots didn't just go into earth and find water by itself, but you had to somehow do something, make some effort to water the land. Then what? Nisfu al-ushri. Yani one half of a tenth, which means what? A half of a tenth means a 20th, or which is a 20th is 5%. Naam, a 20th, yani a tenth. Al ushru is a tenth, and nisfu ushru is a 20th, yani half of a tenth is a 20th in terms of fractions, right? Or in terms of percentages, then it's 5%. So here we have 10%, and we have yani that which you had to do some work, only 5% you have to give, as opposed to yani on wealth you have to give how much? A 40th. Yani 2.5%. Naam. This narration of Ibn Umar is reported by Al-Bukhari and Abu Dawud and At-Tirmidhi rahimahumullah. After this they mention another narration, yani which also supports this meaning, عن جابر ابن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, أنه سمع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول فيما سقت الأنهار والغيم العشور. العشور is the plural of العشر, يعني tenth. So Jabir says that he heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying that what? That which has been watered by an har, yani rivers, or al-ghaym. Al-ghaym means what? Yani as-sama, the rain that came from the sky. Then concerning that type of land or those crops that are watered in that way, naturally, you didn't do anything, the rain came down, the rivers, yani brought the water, then you have to give one-tenth, as mentioned in the previous hadith. وَفِيمَا سُقِيَ بِالسَّاقِيَةِ yani that which has been watered or irrigated by water from the saqiyah. Yani saqiyah has different meanings. Apparently what is intended by saqiyah is yani al-ibl, al-bayir, camels. Although saqiyah also means yani an instrument, yani a tool, an instrument like a water wheel that you use to get to bring water. It also has that meaning. But apparently what is meant, because of other narrations of the hadith, as-saqiyah, also in another narration it mentions as-saniyah. As-saniyah. And saniyah is ibil, yani is camels. So in any case, it could mean either of them, yani, but the point is that the differentiation between the crops or the land that's watered naturally, yani from the rain or from the rivers or from the springs, that's natural watering, irrigation, that you didn't do anything, you have to give one-tenth. And if it was yani irrigated by some effort, yani by you irrigating the land, bringing the water by some means, then it's nisf al-ushur, yani 1/20th or only 5%. This narration is reported by Al-Imam Muslim, Akhrajahu Muslim, wa Abu Dawood. And then we're going to stop there. Even though it should be the end of the line, and then there should be a new paragraph, but sometimes there's no separation here between yani one point and the next. It's just run-on sentences. So this is the stop point, okay? This is the second evidence that, this evidence is a proof of what? This hadith is a proof of, hadith of Jabir is a proof of what? I know this, yani, this topic is a little bit like, yani, different, right? But what is it a proof of? What, we read the hadith of Jabir, what is it a proof of? Naam. The amount to be taken out, right? The amount, yani, naam, the miqdar, or the qeemat al-zakat, of what is obligatory, how much you have to give. It's telling us how much you have to give. And it's also telling us something else. Based on how the work that the person had to do, had to bring forth in order to, yani, to make this crop come, okay, to maintain it. Yani, did you have to do work or you didn't have to do work? Yani, the more work you have to do, the less you have to give in zakat. So there's a relationship between the land being watered naturally or you actually having to irrigate the land and bring water, carry it by animal or whatever you have to do, get it out of a well. Yani, the relationship between what? The effort that is exerted or not exerted, and the amount that you have to pay, and it's going to be in accordance with that. So the more work you have to do, the less you have to pay. The less work you have to do, the more you have to give in zakat. So this hadith of Jabir is a proof of that. And likewise, the previous hadith of Abdul Ibn Umar is also proof of the same exact matter. Then after that, the next point says, this is also, yani, yani, related to the legislation, but not from the perspective of how much you have to give, but what are the things that you have to give zakat from. That's the point, okay? What are the things you have to give zakat from? It says, وَقَدْ وَرَضَ النَّصُ وَالْإِجْمَاعُ عَلَى خَمْسَةِ أَسْنَافٍ هِيَ الشَّعِيرُ وَالْحِنْطَ وَسُلْتُ وَسَلْتُ. Yani here it's written with fatah, but Allahu A'lam, it seems like the word should be with dhamma. Salt or salt, was zabib, was tamr. Yani, so there has come to us a nas, and there's also ijma, that there are five items that you have to give zakat from. What do we mean by nas? A textual proof, like an ayah from the Quran or hadith. So here there's a hadith, which we're going to discuss in some detail today. And then there's also ijma', Any ijma, we mean by ijma? The consensus among the scholars. Yani that the scholars are in agreement. There's consensus here, there's no difference of opinion. Wallahu a'lam. How about that? Yani some of the scholars said that whoever claims that there's ijma has not told the truth. There's always somebody, there's some difference of opinion. There's always somewhere some difference of opinion. Allahu a'lam. In any case, he said that there's a nas. The nas mentions four of these things. And the ijma probably is applicable to four of those things. That is the sha'ir, which is barley. Al-himta, which is wheat. Al-zabib, which is raisins. And al-tamr, which is well-known dates, right? As far as the third thing mentioned, the fifth of those five types is as-salt or as-sult. The footnote says, as-salt is naw'un min ash-sha'iri la qishra lahu wa qila naw' min al-hanta. Yani that it is a type of sha'ir, of barley, that doesn't have any qishr. It doesn't have any outer skin or shell or anything to be peeled off of it. A type of barley that doesn't have any qishr, or it is said that it's a type of hanta, a type of wheat. So a type of barley or a type of wheat. This particular item, the salt or sult, Allahu alam, whether or not there's ijma concerning it, but in any case, that's how it's mentioned here. We know that the text in the Sunnah mentions four items, that excluding the salt or silt. Naam.
When you said the outer area of the thing, is it like a husk?
Yeah, it could be a husk, depending on what it is, right? Could be a husk, could be a shell, could be a skin, could be a peeling, any different type of things, right? You call the outer thing, you call it by different names, right? So whatever it is that you take off to get to the thing inside, that's what we're talking about, the qishr. Qishr is the shell, or the peeling, or the skin, or whatever. That's what it means. Now, huh?
Covering.
Yani some.
I was just not understanding if you meant there's one type of grain that doesn't have that, or any other grain. Like
no. It means there's a particular type of grain that is similar, resembling hanta, like wheat, or resembling sha'ir. One of them, resembling one of them, and it doesn't have any outer, something that you have to remove to get to it. Okay, that's how they have it described.
Do with rice or
anything. I don't think so.
Oh, that's
I don't think so. Yeah, and it doesn't have a covering. It doesn't have a peeling or skin or husk or something like that to remove. Okay, so now we have, there's a nas and there's a ijma' concerning certain types of things that come out of the earth that you have to give zakat upon them. وَيُقَاسُ عَلَيْهَا مَا فِي مَعَنَاهَا مِنْ قَوْنِهَا قُوتًا مَكِيلًا مُدَخَّرًا كَالْعُرُزْ وَالذُّرَّ وَالْعَدَسْ وَالْفُولْ وَغَيْرِهَا. Yani, there are four or five things mentioned. What I know, there are four. Anyway, it says here these five, right? What we are sure about Sha'ir and Hanta and Zabib and Tamar. Zabib is raisins, any dried grapes. The grapes, when they dry up, they become raisins. وَيُقَاسْ عَلَيْهَا يعني you can also by qiyas, upon these things you can make qiyas for everything else, fi ma'anaha, that are like them. Like them in what? مِنْ قَوْنِهَا, that is that they are قُوتًا, يعني a nourishment, a nutrition, something that the people eat. وَمَكِيلًا, something that is measured. Yani now it would be weighed, but that time it was measured. Yani as a measure of volume. وَمُدَخَّرًا, yani something that is اِدَّخَّرَ, yani stored up. Yani the people store it up for eating later on. You can store it up. So if it's something that the people eat for nourishment, and it can be measured, and it also is something that the people store up, then if it has those qualities, he's saying here, then you can make qiyas between those four or five things and whatever is similar to them in those aspects. As far as it being qutan, something that is a nourishment or eaten, something that the people eat for nourishment, well, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, he differs with this point. It doesn't matter if it's qut or not. I don't know if we have time to go into the discussion. I'm just mentioning it as a point of note that he doesn't agree with this point, that it has to be qut. Yani rather, he says that there are things that come from the earth that people don't eat, and also they are from that which comes from the earth, that there's zakat that comes under this title. And we, and inshallah, I'm saying if we have chance, we go to it. But if not, then just I want to make a note of that, that I want to make an exception to this point. And rather, the reference for it is on page 91 and 92 in Al-Jami li Ahkam Fiqh al-Sunnah by Shaykh al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. On page 91 and 92, he refers to this particular matter as an issue, and he differs with that it should be, it has to be something that's eaten. Tayyib. Like from those things that they said are similar to them by qiyas, and also you have to give zakat from them, like al-ruz, yani rice, and dhurra, yani is some kind of a corn, naam, yeah, and adas, lentils, and fool, Egypt, fool every day, bro, beans, man. That's what we eat in Egypt, man. It's beans, food. Naam. Wa ghayriha. And other than it. Yani other things that are like that.
What is dhurra?
Dhurra.
Corn.
No, dhurra is a type of corn. Yeah. So these are other things that some of the scholars say, by qiyas, they also included in what you have to give zakat from. Okay, this is the issue about which there's major difference of opinion. Are these other things also yani required to be given zakat from or not? Okay? That which there's ijma upon are these four items. And as far as the qiyas, there's no ijma upon that. There's definitely no ijma upon that. Rather, there's major difference of opinion. And Sheikh Safiyyah Rahman Mubarak Fouri in his Ta'liq on Bulugh Maram, he actually mentions this point. And he has some kalam that is yani beneficial, inshallah, we're going to read it. We'll come to it. Okay, so the last point that's mentioned here in our text is النصاب الذي تجب فيه الزكات. Yani what is the minimum amount that requires, makes it obligatory a person to give zakat? تجب, yani here, of course, we already mentioned the nisab is what? خمسة أوسق. But here he's talking about what are yani the other conditions along with that. Okay, النصاب الذي تجب فيه الزكات. تجب الزكاة إذا بلغ خمسة أوسق كما مر في الحديث المتفق عليه. يعني as we already mentioned in the hadith that was agreed upon by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. والوسق يعني أوسق is the plural of وسق. الوسق ستون صاعا. One وسق يعني five أوسق is the minimum نصاب. One وسق is ستون صاعا. 60 صاعا. بصاع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيكون النصاب إذن 300 صاع. So one wasq we said what is 60 صاع. What is a صاع? What is a صاع? It's a measurement that's equivalent to something similar to four handfuls. يعني both hands being cupped together four times. يعني the hands cupped together, the amount that the average hand, two hands will hold is a mud. And four amdad is one sa'a, and one wask is 60 sa'a. 60 sa'a. And the minimum nisab is five awsukh, yani 300 sa'a. That's the minimum. If they don't have that amount, there's no zakat. Yes. Repeat it one more time. Yani a sa'a is four amdad. One mud is two hands cupped together, average size hands, two hands cupped together, what they can hold, that's one mud. Four of them, four amdad, is one sa'a. Is one sa'a. So we know one sa'a is four amdad, right? The wask, yani, the singular of awsuk, yani the wask, is 60 sa'a. 60 sa'a. One sa'a is four handfuls, so 60 times that, right? 60 times that is one wask. And the minimum nisab is five wask, or five? 300. Yani times 60, 300. Sa'a. 2400
hands.
Thank you. So I hope we don't have to count them, right?
Yeah.
Fa فَيَكُونُ النِّصَابُ. So based on this, that the wask is 60 sa'ah and 5 yani awsuq is the nisab. So 300 yani sa'ah is the yani minimum nisab. And this is based on the hadith of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal al-wasqu 60 sa'an, rawahu Ahmadu wa Ibn Majah. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith reported in the Muslim of Imam Ahmad and the Sunan of Ibn Majah that one wask is 60 sa'ah. That's how we know a wask is 60 sa'ah. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said so, and he also said 5 yani awsukh is the nisab, 300 yani sa'ah. Watajibu here, now he mentions other conditions. That's the minimum nisab, right? The minimum nisab is 5 awsukh, which is 300 sa'ah. Watajibu zakatul hab, yani grains, idha shtadda. This is also a condition for the zakat to be obligatory. Yani with hab, the grains, they have to have become hardened. Hardened. Yani hard, ripe and hard. Wafit thamara, yani in fruits, idha bada salahuha. Yani when the signs of ripeness appear on the fruits. Yani, whatever type of fruit is going to, yani, person going to give a zakat for, when the signs of them becoming ripe, that's when, yani, the zakat became due. When the signs of them become ripe. When the signs of their being ripe. Wa waqtul hasad. And that, yani, the time has come for the harvest. So, yani, there's a minimum amount in terms of the volume, 300 sa'ah. And then there's also the requirement that the grains became hardened, and that the fruit, the signs of their ripeness appeared. So on the day of the hasad, yani of the harvest, then, yani if all of those things are in place, it became obligatory for a person to give the zakat. And this is based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَآتُوا حَقَّهُ يَوْمَ حَصَادِهِ يَوْمَ حَصَادِهِ, on the day of the harvest. اشْتَدَّ إِذَا اشْتَدَّ الْحَبْ وَبَدَى صَلَاحُ yani الثَّمَرَة. صلاحه يعني its ripeness, يعني it's fit, يعني it's fit to be eaten, it's ripe. Okay, that's the end of this subject. The next subject is جيم زكاه الذهب and فضة. So يعني we're going to stop here with this and go to الوجيز. Okay, in الوجيز في فقه السنة والكتاب العزيز, they mention the second type of wealth that there's zakat upon is thaniyan zakat al-zuru' wal-thimar. Al-zuru' wal-thimar. Yani things that, crops that grow from the earth and fruits that grow on trees. Same thing, just wording it a little bit different. The first thing they mention is the lil of its mesh, of it being yani legislated, the ayat that we mentioned already. And then they mention the types of crops or fruits or grains from which the zakat is taken. Now this is important topic, I mean this is important point here from Al-Wajiz, because yani there's a view here given different than what we just read in our textbook. Okay? Al-Asnaf التي تؤخذ منها, yani the types of crops, of grains or of fruits from which the zakat is taken. لا تؤخذ الزكاة إلا من أصناف أربعة بينها هذا الحديث, يعني the following hadith. Their view is that zakat is not to be taken except from four types of things that come from the earth. Those four types have been made clear in the following hadith. The hadith of Abi Barda عن أبي موسى ومعاذ يعني ابن جبل رضي الله عنهما, may Allah be pleased with both of them, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعثهما إلى اليمن يعلمان الناس أمر دينهم فأمرهم يعني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أمرهم أن لا يأخذوا الصدقة يعني الزكاة إلا من هذه الأربعة, except from these four. يعني أبو بردة, he narrates from Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu and Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam missioned them. He sent both of them to Yemen for what purpose? to teach the people the affair of their deen. And he commanded them, when he sent them from amongst the orders that he gave them, he commanded them not to take sadaqah, yani zakat, except from these following four types of things that grow, come out from the earth. Al-hanta, wheat, al-sha'ir, barley, al-tamra, dates, and al-zabib, raisins. This hadith, here in the footnotes, al-wajiz says, this hadith is sahih. The reference for it, yani silsila al-hadith al-sahiha, hadith number 879. The hadith is narrated. What does KM mean, abbreviation? Book of Hadith. Yeah. KM. That's an abbreviation for Al-Hakim. Al-Hakim, naam. Mustadrak of Hakim. And Ha-Qaf. 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 Abbreviation for what book of Hadith? Al-Bayhaqi. Al-Bayhaqi. Okay, if we're reading Al-Wajiz, he's only given abbreviations for the books of Hadith. So, yeah, you have to like be familiar a little bit with some of the abbreviations. He said this hadith is sahih. The reference, yani Shaykh al-Albani mentions it as sahih and as sahiha, hadith number 879. It's reported in the Mustadrak of al-Hakim and the Sunan of al-Bayhaqi, and he gives the references for them. Okay, this hadith that's used as a proof for this view, that only four things, the zakat should be taken from four things that come out from the earth, this hadith, why is there a difference about this matter? That only these four things or other than these four things. Why would there be difference? Yani, why would some scholars say you could take from other than them when the hadith is clear and the Prophet ﷺ saying don't take except from these four things?
Because
Because what? Wait a minute.
Because
other places grow different things, that's a possibility.
Yeah, that's about the same view that they may have what they have.
Okay. So, depending on what's in the land, yani? Mutlaq al muqayyid? So, the ayah seems to be general, yani the harvest, whatever comes out of the earth. And this hadith is specific, limiting it. Naam, Musa? Qiyas. Yani, some people are using qiyas and okay, so they're taking this hadith, but they're saying we can make qiyas on this.
No.
Things that are similar to it. Tayyib. Well, there's another view too, why they differ, and that's because some scholars did not accept this hadith as being authentic. All of what you said is good, really. Yani, this part of the discussion is for us to think. It's for training in fiqh, right? Why do the scholars differ? One of the reasons, main reasons why scholars differ about any issue, they differ about the evidence. They differ about a hadith, is it authentic or not. They differ because this hadith came to them and this hadith didn't come to them. They differ because they both agree with the hadith. They know it and they agree that it's authentic, but they understand it differently. So there are different reasons why the difference may come. I'm just trying to make us start thinking, why is there difference about this matter when there's a hadith that's crystal clear? So there may be various reasons, like what you said, and from amongst the reasons is because some scholars do not consider the hadith to be sahih.
So that would be the basis first.
maybe. But those other things that you said are also legitimate reasons why there could be difference.
But without the authenticity.
Okay, so the first thing that should happen when we have a difference of opinion about something, we should, if there's a hadith, we should first ascertain, is the hadith authentic or not? Before we go any further, before we start looking at how do you understand it, how do we understand it, first we want to know is it authentic or not. Okay, and then after that we can talk about other things, right? Okay, so that is one of the main points. Okay, is the hadith authentic or not? So we're going to look at this hadith in a little bit more detail as we go along, right? Because there's some discussion, as I said, in the ta'liqat of Shaykh Safiur Rahman al-Mubarak Fouri, rahimahullah. And when we look at that, then we're going to look at both sides of the issue, okay? But right now we just want to go through wajiz a little bit more and see what they said about the nisab. Okay, about the nisab. They said, يشترط لوجود الزكاة في الزروع والثمار أن تبلغ النصاب المذكور في هذا الحديث. Yani the hadith that's coming. Yani they said there is a condition for the zakat to be obligatory in terms of the crops that come from the earth or the fruits that grow on trees, that it reach the the mentioned nisab that came in the following hadith, the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, laysa fi ma duna khamsa dhawdin sadaqatun min al-ibli, wa laysa fi ma duna khamsi awaqin or awaqin. Naam. Sadaqatun. Wa laysa fi ma duna yani what? Khamsati awsuqin sadaqatun. Okay, so these are three different types of wealth that are mentioned in this hadith. We're concerned about the last of them. But for the benefit of the hadith, the Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu said that there is no zakat fi ma duna khamsi dhawdin min al-ibil. Yani dhawdin, the meaning of it, it means a herd of animals, a herd of animals. And here, some of the scholars said it means between 3 and 10. Yani here, so the meaning of it here is, there's no zakat in that which is less, a herd that has less than 5. If it's less than 5, yani from camels. A herd of less than 5, there's no zakat. So we already know that, right? Because the zakat starts at 5 to 9 and 10 to 14 and so on, right? Second part of the hadith, وَلَيْسَ فِي مَدُونَ خَمْسَ أَوَاقٍ صَدَقَةٍ. And awaqin here, this is the plural of uqiya. And Ibn Hajj al-Asqalani said, the uqiya, yani in this hadith, what is meant by it is 40 dirhams. This is something that's agreed upon. What is meant by it? 40 dirhams, pure silver coins. 40 dirhams. So 5, yani khamsa awaq, means how much? 40 times 5, 200 dirhams, pure silver coins. That's so what that this is the zakat for what? For wealth, for money, for gold and silver money wealth. Okay, but here specifically he gave the amount in dirhams, and there's other narrations I mentioned. Yani what? Dinars, naam. The part of this hadith that we are concerned about though is what? The last part that says walaysa fima duna khamsati awsuqin sadaqa. Yani, this is in reference to the crops, the things that come from the earth, that there's no sadaqah in what's less than, yani, 5 awsaq, yani, 60, 1 wasq is 60 sa'a, 300, less than 300 sa'a, there's no sadaqah. Okay, so they mentioned this hadith, and the benefit of this hadith is what? The other things that they mentioned, the nisab for other types of wealth that are mentioned in this hadith. Yani, camels and gold or silver. The last point I want to mention from here, from Wajiz al-Miqdar, al-miqdar al-wajib. Yani, what is the amount that's obligatory, yani, to be given? They mentioned the hadith of Jabir from the Prophet radiallahu anhu, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said, "Fima saqatil anhar wal ghaim ushur." We read this hadith already. Yani, that whatever is watered or irrigated by rivers or by the clouds, yani, rain from the sky, then the amount that has to be given, the miqdar or the qima, is 1/10. And whatever suqiya bisaniya. Bisaniya. Yani the hadith, when we read this hadith before, it said what? Saqiya. Saqiya. Here came saniya. And this is why some of the scholars said saqiya means camels, because saniya means ibl. So some of the scholars said it means, yani, the animal that's used to bring the water. Yani, meaning that the man has to make an effort to irrigate the land. Okay, so there's in that type of land that is irrigated by saniya, by camels, or by any type of instrument or tool or something that a person has to use to make an effort to irrigate the land, then there's nisf ushur. Okay, so the purpose of mentioning this hadith is the difference in the wording, yani saqi and saniya. And then they also mentioned the hadith of Ibn Umar from the Prophet radiallahu anhuma, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said that whatever yani is irrigated by the rain that as samaa comes from the sky, or the uyun, or the springs, or athariyan, yani the wetlands that naturally takes up the water by its roots, then there is a tenth, and whatever is watered by an nadhi, yani by any watering system, whatever it might be, whether it's yani irrigation, some irrigation type of system, or animals, that however the water is brought by the effort of the farmer, then there is a nisf usha, or 20th, or yani 5%. Okay, this is what I wanted to mention from here. Primarily, this hadith, the hadith of Jabir, that mentions asaniya. And Sheikh Safiur Rahman Mubarak Fouri, he mentions He mentions the discussion concerning this particular word in the Tariqat on Bulugh al-Maram. We're going to look at now, yani, where he explains the meanings of the words in the Hadith. Yani in Bulugh al-Maram, Shaykh Safi Rahman, rahimahullah, he mentions this Hadith, under this Hadith 599 and Hadith number 600. The Hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with both him and his father, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there's no zakat, yani in what is less than 5 awaqin min al-wariqi sadaqa. Yani laysa fi maduna 5 awaqin min al-wariqi. Yani wariqi, yani fidda, silver, sadaqa. Yani less than 5 awaqin. Yani one uqiya is 40 dirhams. And 5 of them would be 200 dirhams. That's the first part of the hadith. وَلَيْسَ فِي مَدُونَ خَمْسَ ذَوْدٍ مِنَ الْإِبْلِ صَدَقَ. Yani 5, less than a herd of 5 camels. وَلَيْسَ فِي مَدُونَ خَمْسَةِ أَوْسُقٍ. That's the part that we're really concerned about. مِنَ التَّمْرِ صَدَقَ. رَوَاهُ مُسْلِمٌ. And then the Shaykh mentions another hadith. Yani وَلَاهُ مِنْ حَدِيثِ أَبِي سَعِيدٍ. وَلَاهُ meaning who? Huh? Not a rawi in this case. Muslim. Because remember, at the end of this hadith, I'm on page 179 to 181, he brings some hadith and discussion concerning our affair. On page 179, hadith number 599 and hadith number 600, that is because he said the first hadith is narrated by Muslim, walahu, and also Muslim has another narration from the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. ليس في مدونة خمسة أوساق من تمر ولا حب صدقة. يعني whatever is less than 5 أوساق, يعني from تمر or from grains, seeds, there's no صدقة if it is less than that amount. He said, يعني الحافظ ابن حجر الأسكناني mentions وأصل حديث أبي سعيد متفق عليه. يعني this hadith is the wording of Imam Muslim, but the yani the original hadith, yani in its original form, yani the basic meaning of it, rather I should say, is yani narrated by both Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And then he narrates another hadith which we mentioned already, but he comes with another wording in Bulugh al-Maram, the hadith of Salim ibn Abdullah from his father. Who is his father? Salim. Who is the father of Salim ibn Abdullah? نعم عن سالم ابن عبد الله عن أبيه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ها سالم ابن عبد الله his father is عبد الله it's clear right but that's not my question who is عبد الله that's the real question ها لا nobody knows سالم ابن عبد الله he's a great scholar of hadith one of the two most important narrators from عبد الله ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما. The most important narrator from Abdullah ibn Umar was his son Salim. From the most important of them was his son Salim. So Salim, he narrates from his father, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a point of benefit, fa'ida, right? Yani, an Salim ibn Abdullah an abihi. Who is abihi? Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. He narrates from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from that which is watered by the sky and the springs, or that which is athariyan, yani wetlands, its roots actually bring the water up directly without any effort from the farmer, then what is due for them is 1/10. وَفِيمَا سُقِيَ بِالنَّدْحِ and that which is watered by irrigation, by efforts by the farmer, نِصْفُ عُشْرَ yani 1/20 or 5%, رواه البخاري. وَلِأَبِي داود الحافظ mentions here a narration from Abu Dawood which brings another wording that's not in Bukhari. وَلِأَبِي داود أو كان بعلا العشرة يعني whatever is watered by the sky and the springs or it was أثريا came in Bukhari and Abu Dawud came أو بعلا then this one also there's a tenth in it and بعلا is like a بدل for أثريا it's almost the same مرادف in its meaning يعني but it came in Abu Dawud with that wording and also it means what يعني the land that is watered naturally, without any effort from the farmer. Then there's 1/10, فِيمَا سُقِيَ. And then in the narration of Abu Dawud came another wording, وَفِيمَا سُقِيَ بِالسَّوَانِي. أو النضحي نصف العشر. And that which is watered by سواني or by النضحي, then a half of a tenth, يعني a twentieth, is due of zakat. سواني, the Shaykh he mentions, is the plural of سانيه. Didn't that come in one of our narrations? سانيه. We said that سانيه is explaining the previous narration, ساقيه. سانيه means the بعير or the إبل, camels. Okay, that means the effort by the farmer is used here. But he said, بالسواني أو النضحي. سواني أو النضحي. Okay, and then there's just one more hadith that I want to mention here, and then we're going to read the explanations that the Shaykh gave. Yani hadith number 602 and 603. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani mentions two hadith here. Hadith Abu Musa al-Ashari, radiyallahu anhu, and Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiyallahu anhu. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala lahuma, la ta'khudha, yani muthanna, fi al-sadaqati illa min hadhi al-asnafi al-arba'ati. الشعير والحنطة والزبيب والتمر رواه الطبراني والحاكم والبيهقي وصححه الشيخ الألباني إن الصحيحة والإرواء الجليل. Two narrations, right? Who brought these narrations? Who brought these narrations? Which book are we reading from now? Well, I guess we're reading from Bulugh Maram. Reading from Bulugh Maram. Okay. So that means that this is collected by Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani rahimahullah. He narrates these two hadith from Abu Musa al-Ashari and Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Safi al-Rahman Mubarak 40. It's his commentary on Bulugh Maram. Okay, so the original book, Bulugh Maram, is Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. The commentary that we're going to read now is from Shaykh Safi al-Rahman Mubarak 40, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasiya. The first hadith, right, is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, yani Abu Musa al-Ashari and Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhumah, لا تأخذا. This is لا what? ناهية. How do you know it's لا ناهية? Because تأخذا حذف النون يدل على أنه مجزوم بلا ناهية. لا ناهية. نعم. ما شاء الله. Right? These young brothers, ما شاء الله. Well, Abu Bakr is not really young. We're going to bring Abu Bakr in our team. Abu Bakr is going to be our team. Because listen, Abu Bakr, if you don't join our team with the old folks, we ain't got nobody, man. We need somebody on our team. We're going to take you. We drafted Abu Bakr to join our team. Nah. لا تأخذا, do not take from in the sadaqah except from هذه الأسناف الأربعة, these four types of foods, الشعير, الحنطة, الزبيب, and التمر. So the nas that we mentioned earlier is from this hadith, and the ijma is something else, right? For these four things, رواه الطبراني والحاكم. And also we read before that this hadith is narrated by al-Bayhaqi, and the Shaykh al-Bani said that it's sahih, and we're going to talk about his tashih of this and the difference of opinion about it. But there's two narrations he mentioned here. From Dar Qutni, there's the narration from Mu'adh. He said, فَأَمَّا الْكِثَّاءُ وَالْبِطِّيخُ وَالرُّمَّانُ وَالْقَصَبُ فَقَدْ عَفَى عَنْهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani says, وَإِسْنَادُهُ ضَعِيفٌ. This narration he brought to accompany the first narration, do not take except from the wheat, the barley, the raisins, and the dates. And Dar Qutni narrates it from Mu'adh, saying, as far as the kithau, which is khiyar, yani cucumbers. Wa bittikhu is ma'roof. Bittikh is, we always like to eat it, the watermelon. Wa rummanu, we said, is what? No, it's not the pomegranate. It's Chinese apples. Chinese apples. Wal qasab. Wal qasab. Yani, and then he also explains qasab is like the canes or reeds, yani, like sugar cane or something like this. He said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam excused the people from these things, the pomegranate and the cucumbers and the sugar cane and things like this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, watermelon, he excused the people, he pardoned the people, meaning that he didn't ask for them to give zakat from this. But Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani himself says, after narrating this narration of Darqutni, the narration of Darqutni, he says, isnad is daif. Okay, now as far as some of these words, quickly we're going to look at some of these words. Yani, how the commentary of Sheikh Safi Rahman Mubarak 40, how much time we got? Well, our time is up. Oh, we don't have any time. Okay, so I'll just read some of the commentary of him just in brief, yani, without the Arabic. And he says, awaqin, yani, the meaning of awaq, it's the plural of uqiyah. Yani, kamsa awaq, he said uqiyah. Yani, bidam al-hamza wa tashdeed al-ya, uqiyah, with shadda. This means, this is what is equivalent to 40 dirhams. So, 5 awaq is equal to 200 dirhams. He says, or 700 grams. And 5 and 30, yani 735 grams, in terms of weight, in terms of weight. Yani, so the, yani, khamsa, awaq, means what? Yani, 200 dirhams, or in weight, it would be 535 grams of pure silver. Pure silver. That's zakat on wealth, right? Waraq, he said, yani, waraq, it is, yani, what is intended by fidda, silver. Dhud, what is meant by it is ibl, camels. It's a ism jam. Ism jam, meaning camels in general. It is applicable to use for mudhakkar and mu'annath, al-qaleel wal-kathir. Yani, masculine and feminine, little and much. Well, he has a saha idaf, and then he says, yani, nam, al-wasq. Yani, al-suq, the word al-suq, he said, yani, is the plural of wasq or whisk, with fatah or with kasra. And al-wasq is 60 sa'a. So 5 al-saq is 300 sa'a. And the sa'a is, yani, 1 sa'a we said is what? Arba amdad. 4 muds. And a mud is ratl wa thuluth ratl. Yani, thuluth, yani, 1 1/3 pound. Wa sa'a yuqarib. But the sa'a, it is nearly 2.5 grams, yani, in terms of weight, 2.5 grams, or kilograms, I'm sorry, kilograms, not grams, 2.5 kilograms, yani, 1 sa'a, if a person didn't have anything to measure by volume, then approximately 2.5 kilograms, which is in pounds about 5 pounds, 5. Awsuq is the plural of whisk, nam, hub, yani, hub. He said, the hub, yani, the grain, he said, it is al-bidr, yani, grains or seeds, like al-kumh, yani, wheat, or shayir, barley, or adas, lentils, and whatever is like them. Duna, the meaning of duna, whatever is less than duna, mean aqallu min. And then he said, fima, in the second hadith, fima saqat al-sama, what is meant by fima saqat al-sama, al-murad bidhalik al-matar, rain, al-thalj. What's thalj? And bard, snow. And hail. And then he explains the grammatical explanation of how this hadith came, mubtada and khabar, muqaddam, mu'akhar. And then he says, al-uyun is the plural of ayn, and it is allati tatafajjaru min al-ard bil-ma'i. That which, what? Bard? Yani, it could be interpreted different ways, but if it's mentioned together, yani, al-ma, wa-thalj, wa-jbard, yani, ma is water, thalj is snow, and bard is ice, yani, or hail, yani, if it's mentioned together like that, as it came in some of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, opening supplications of the prayer, that he asks Allah to forgive our sins with, yani, water and snow and hail. Al-uyun, he mentions uyun is the plural of ayn, that which, the water that springs forth from the earth, and he mentions athariyan, wa alaykum salam, athariyan is the, yani, he says, this is huwa ma yatasharrabu al-ma bi-uruqihi li balalin fil ard aw kaun al-ma qariban min wajhiha. Yani, al-athariyan means the one that takes up the water by its roots, li balalin fil ard, because the earth is moist, or kaun al-ma qariban, or because the water is near, min wajhiha, yani, it's near to the surface of the earth. So those crops are easily to get water on their own. You don't have to do any work. Al-Ushra, he just says that the Ushra, we know it means one-tenth. Ma suqiya bin-nad, here he said, yani ma suqiya bin-nad bil-bina lil-maf'ool, yani mabniun lil-majhool. Suqiya. Bin-nad, he said, the asal of it means sprinkling some water or water that is flowing. What is intended by a ned is asaniya. Asaniya. A, al-ibl, camels. Wakatha, and likewise is also applicable to al-bakr and al-humr. Yani, cows and, yani, mules or donkeys. Allati yastah, yani, whatever is used, animals that are used to bring the water from the earth. And ba'alan, he said, is a bedel for athariyan. In the different narration it came, yani, exchange for that word. Ba'al, it means, yani, ma yanbutu bilma' as-sama'i. Whatever grows due to the water that comes from the sky, the rain, or due to the moisture that's in the earth, and it doesn't require it to be irrigated. And this is nearly muqarib li ma'ana al-athari. It's almost the same meaning as athari, aw muradif, or it's a synonym for it. Then he said, bis-sawani, and remember we said sawani, aw nadhi. In one narration it came, sawani aw nadhi, this or that. Sawani, he said, is the plural of saniya, camels. And an-nad means irrigation of some type. He said this is bis-sawani aw an-nadhi from a linguistic perspective. He said it is al-atfu yaqtadi at-taghayyir. At-taghayyir. Baina as-saniya wa an-nadh. Yani the fact that there is the aw al-atf here means that there's some difference between them. This or that. They're not the same. He's saying this means that there should be some difference between sawaniya and an-nadhi. However, the way the people have explained it, meaning some of the scholars, is that they are just mutaradif, yani they are just synonyms. However, what is better is that we say that they are not the same. That saniya is khasa bisuqi bidawab. That saniya is in reference to the watering of the land by animals, like camels or cows or whatever. And an-nadh is more general. Am laha is general for irrigation. In this way, yani, we have a specific meaning, the watering that animals are used in, and then we have a general meaning that includes that and any other way of irrigating the land. And he said this is better to understand the hadith in that way, because the fact that you said bis-sawani aw an-nadhi is as though they are two different things. One of them is specific and the other one is general. Yani using any kind of jamil alat, any kind of instrument that brings the water from the earth. فَهُوَ مِنْ عَطْفْ الْعَامْ عَلَى الْخَاسِ. This is important for grammar and it's important for fiqh. Yani عَطْفْ الْعَامْ عَلَى الْخَاسِ. Yani linking that which is general to that which is specific. The specific came first and the general came connected to it, including it and other than it. وَالْمُرَادْ مِنْ الْكُلْ مَكَانَ سُقْيُهُ يعني بِتَعَبْ وَالْأَثَى. And what is intended by all of this is to distinguish the irrigation that took place by due to ta'ab and ana, yani difficulty and hardship. Yani the person had to make some effort, and that's why the zakat is going to be, instead of one-tenth, it's going to be one-twentieth, a lesser amount. Then the Shaykh explains Zabib and Qisha, and we already mentioned what they are, so yani just for the sake of time, we're going to skip past that, because now we're going into somebody else's time. Okay, I'm going to stop here because Sheikh Safi Rahman Mubarak 40, he mentions here, we're going to come back to it next week, he mentions here the ikhtilaf concerning the asnaf. And this is an important point, this is not something we can rush through. Okay, at the end of this commentary, you have the PDF file for it, go back and read the commentary of Sheikh Safi Rahman in Bulugh Maram on hadith number 602 and 603. So on the bottom of page 180 and 181, he mentions the ikhtilaf concerning the types of things that come from the earth that one must give zakat upon. Some of the scholars said it's only these four types that are mentioned in the hadith. The Prophet said, do not take zakat except from these four. Some scholars said, no, those four, we can make qiyas on them, whatever is similar to them, we also take zakat from them. The Shaykh, his view is that you can use qiyas. This is also the view of Sheikh Uthaymeen. This is also the view of Sheikh Salih Fawzan. And this is also the view of many other scholars. We're going to look at this view and then we're going to look at the other view of the scholars who say No, it's limited to what's mentioned in the hadith, which is the view of Sheikh Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani, and it's also one of the views of Imam Ahmed himself, and it's the view of some of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, and we're going to look at both sides, and we're going to compare the different views, and we're going to see how sometimes there's a difference of opinion amongst the scholars that's not easy to resolve. Not going to be easy to resolve. Because on both sides, we have the scholars who we love from the past and the present, and it's not going to be easy to get around it. Okay, so now we're going to look at really the merit of the argument, the merits of the evidence. And that's how we're going to determine. Not that my sheikh is Sheikh Al-Albani, whatever he says, I'm going with that. And the other person said, yeah, well, my sheikh is Sheikh Salih Fawzan, as one brother told me. Whatever Sheikh Salih Fawzan says, that's it. I ain't having no discussion about it. Rahimahullah, Hafidhullah. Until one day, we had a discussion about pictures, taking pictures. And he didn't think that it was prohibited. And I said, but you know, Sheikh Salih Fawzan said it's haram, taking photographs. And then I brought him the fatwa. And then he said, I have to think about it. Now you got to think about it? Now you got to think about it, huh? That's why we shouldn't follow men. We follow evidence. We follow the evidence. We don't follow the men. No matter who great, Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, it doesn't matter. We don't follow men. We follow the evidence that they bring. The reason why we love Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah is because he brings evidence for what he says. But if he brings an issue and the evidence is against what he says, we don't follow what he says. We follow evidence. So we follow the view of the scholars who have the strongest evidence, not the greatest personality. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Next week, inshallah, we're going to have this difference of opinion discussion. Please read up the references that I sent you. Please read them.